Hey friends, what we do here at ProWrestling.net, it's not possible solely because of ad sales, but because of the support from ProWrestling.net members. We don't just ask people to become members and give them nothing, either. We actually offer a lot of benefits for our ProWrestling.net members, including ad-free access to the site, exclusive audio reviews of every major TV show, and exclusive ProWrestling.net weekly audio shows where Jason Powell often goes over and breaks first-run news that you're not going to hear anywhere else. If you'd like information on how you could jump in, support us, and help us out and become a ProWrestling.net member, head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and for $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out, or if you want to get a discounted rate, you can take the annual or six-month options and knock a few dollars off the monthly price as well. We'd love to have you on board as a ProWrestling.net member, and we'd love to have you show your support for what we do here. Thank you, and enjoy the show. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake talk about the untimely demise of Talking Smack and where WWE programming goes from here. So Jake, it turns out I still exist somehow. I wasn't quite aware of it last week. I looked at my calendar midway through yesterday and said, oh crap, it's Thursday. I didn't write anything for the site. Oh well, I have to miss this week.
Yeah, I mean, life comes at you fast. You say you were in Louisville, right?
Yeah.
That was all over your... Did you enjoy that experience? Was it different for you?
There is a part of me that really enjoys the South. Not the part of me that hates waiting in lines, but the part of me that enjoys fried food and enjoys just some of the basic kindness that the South sort of offers. And on that note, Louisville was an awesome place to visit. It was really fun. They have a neat little art scene in that community. So that was cool. But I couldn't take the humidity. I walked like a mile and a half one day down the street to a coffee shop and was just like, why? It is 90 degrees and it is so humid. I want to die.
It's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your socks are wet and you just can't get dry because the sweat doesn't evaporate because it's so humid. Yeah. Humidity is not a fun thing to go through.
Yeah. So all of that was decently challenging. That to me was the roughest part, but it was a really nice place to visit. And I'm glad I got to, you know, get sent there for work and stuff and got to see a little bit of that scene. But right after that, I came back and we had concerts in Southern California and I had to do those. It was nuts. I apologize to listeners who were expecting this show last week and felt like it was absent. I swear August will be a calmer month.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's good to deliver what people expect on the website. I
can't tell you. All three listeners to this podcast are going to be really happy.
Dozens of them. But pretty busy in wrestling while you were gone. You missed the initial Great Balls of Fire show, a couple of decent episodes of of WWE shows. I think the two Raws that you probably missed were the two best Raws in a good long time, and SmackDown was decent this week. So.
And Roman Reigns is wanted for murder.
Yeah, that is a thing that happened. Yeah, that was, I don't know. Jason and I talked about this post Great Balls of Fire, but it's one of those things where it's in, I think, you know, there's various former WWE creative people that talk about this on Twitter and various other places, podcasts and whatnot, where it's like Vince is so focused on creating moments that the context and the consequences of creating those moments, you know, for the characters that are a part of them don't really factor into the decision-making process. And so you'll see something like we saw on Sunday where Roman Reigns attempts to murder Braun Strowman. And then on Monday, it's just like, okay, you know, there's no legal ramifications for that, even though it was after a match and not part of competition. And, you know, the Kurt Angle just okay, you can have a title shot.
Yeah. Shot since you killed the only guy competing with you for it.
I don't know why murder isn't more of an option then, if that's the way they book. But yeah, it was a bit of a bizarre turn of events. I'm guessing we'll hear more about it on Monday, or maybe Braun Strowman will get his revenge and succeed where Roman failed.
Something tells me Braun Strowman is not finished with him.
No, that should be, I mean, why is that not a shirt already? Is it a shirt? Like, it should be.
Yeah. Braun Strowman continues. I mean, I watched the Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman ambulance match from Great Balls of Fire. Braun Strowman continues to be the greatest. And Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns together are somehow just amazing and great, even though fans probably like don't particularly like either of them unless Braun is flipping over an ambulance.
Yeah, like there's going to be... In 2018, there's going to be a Braun Strowman supercut of him just running into the ring post repeatedly. And it's going to be like 27 minutes long because it happens like four times in every match. It's hilarious.
And only the ring post can stop him. And even then, sometimes he brings down the ring. Braun Strowman.
Yeah, quite a guy. But I guess the thing we wanted to talk about that just popped up today was talking smack. What happened, man?
Oh. I'm going to miss it so much. WWE decided to cancel it. It's not going to be after SmackDown anymore. And I will say, this one kind of hurts me. I thought it was a neat thing that set SmackDown apart from other shows or from like Raw and others. It was a nice place for wrestlers to find and explore their characters. Before we went on the air, we were talking about The Miz and that his career resurgence. I wouldn't say it happened solely because of talking smack. I think he was on that path for a couple months before, but he exploded because of talking smack. I think Alexa Bliss is the firecracker on the mic that she is as dynamic as she is because of the experience she got on talking smack. And it makes me go, where else is WWE going to allow wrestlers to explore their characters this way and to explore what makes them tick? In this way, because that doesn't happen on Raw or SmackDown. That doesn't happen even on the website or on what they post on YouTube. But talking smack was kind of a special place.
And I think it was, you know, largely enabled by the great chemistry that existed between the hosts on the show.
Yeah.
Like Daniel Bryan and Renee Young were hilarious together. And Daniel Bryan really seemed willing, you know, to engage with talents on that show in a way that put them on the spot to sort of innovate and to drive their characters forward from a narrative standpoint. And I'm really going to miss that part of it. And it really does raise questions, you know, in my mind, like, well, you know, Raw Talk is kind of basically only a post pay-per-view thing now. And Talking Smack is sort of becoming that same thing. So, you know, what does that mean for Renee Young? Do you think they have plans upcoming for her? Like, she's not going to be on much weekly television aside from, you know, being whatever, you know, she's an interviewer on SmackDown. So, but what does that mean for her from a, what is she doing for full-time work? Is she taking time away from the company? Do they have some other production in mind for her? You know, it seems like with the Mae Young Classic coming into existence that there may be potentially a role for Renee Young on, you know, if they're going to make a future women's show for the network, I think she would make a great play-by-play announcer for that show.
I agree. I think that would be a great spot to use her. I think one of the things that made Renee Young so great on Talking Smack was a willingness, like Daniel Bryan, to just be game. Whatever happened, she was going to react to it. She was going to be organic. And she and Daniel Bryan really grounded that show. And that's something Renee Young will not get a chance to do on Raw or SmackDown. She holds a microphone and nods for the most part on those shows. You know, she asks a weird question like, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns just tried to murder you. How do you feel? And Braun goes, I'm not finished with you, and walks away. And that tends to be it. You don't get those genuine interactions like Renee was able to have with wrestlers on Talking Smack. And that's where I'm a little concerned. And I go, where is WWE going to use that skill set? And honestly, where are they going to give wrestlers those chances? It's kind of a twofold thing. And my hope is that somehow elements of Talking Smack and elements of what they did end up being a part of what they've done, say, on or what they could do on, say, Raw or SmackDown, that those get folded into it.
I mean, Renee Young is a dynamic personality. You know, like, she's been great at literally everything they've wanted to do. She's been courted by other sports broadcasting organizations that want to use her in other, you know, if to cover sports in a in an anchor desk type situation, like, you know, your ESPNs and your Fox Sportses and your NBCs and whoever else you want to throw into that mix. So, I mean, why not give her a bigger role? I mean, it's clear that everybody identifies that she is great. I mean, just give her an opportunity to use that personality someplace else. I mean, is it time for JBL to retire? Like, can she just be, can she be color on SmackDown? Like, just find something for her to do that gets her on TV, because people really do enjoy it.
And that would be great on a number of levels. I don't think Renee was amazing for the short stint she was doing commentary on, I think it was NXT and then a little bit later WWE Superstars. And I went out of my way to watch her call things, because it's so rare for WWE to have a woman behind that desk. But I think on a number of levels, WWE needs a voice like Renee Young behind the commentary desk. And not just a voice like hers, but hers could really enhance shows. I think that would be a great place to use her. Put her behind the desk on SmackDown or Raw. Get Booker or JBL out of there and add a little bit of diversity to that staff as well. Make it something really nice.
Not everybody's cut out to do play-by-play, you know, and I think they have groomed people to do that. You know, Tom Phillips is a very good at doing what WWE wants play-by-play people to do, which is, you know, sort of direct traffic at the announce table and do, you know, the plugs they want and throw to video packages. I mean, if you listen to Tom Phillips during matches on SmackDown, he's not really calling matches. You know, it's not what they ask their play-by-play people to do much of. You know, he might react to a move here or there, but mostly he's trying to tell people a story, you know, and they rely on color analysts to sort of fill in the gaps. And that's where I think somebody with a little personality, somebody who does well at, you know, being what I would consider a babyface, which is what Renee Young plays on Talking Smack, I think that fits really well into what they would want to do there. I don't know if they'd want to necessarily go back to Byron being a heel, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it would be at least something different too than the kind of homogenized picture we get at the commentary table right now. I kind of wonder, where do you think the wrestlers go from here who got such great exposure on Talking Smack? I'm thinking about guys like the Usos, who I think showed more personality on that show than they ever got to on TV. And then they got to bring that personality onto TV because they showed it there. How do you think those wrestlers that maybe needed that extra boost will get by?
That's an open question. I don't think I have an answer to give you, because there really isn't another place where they could kind of work off the cuff. You know, it's just the environment that they work in from a promo standpoint on the televised products is fairly limited and quite heavily scripted. And so I don't know. I don't, maybe, you know, unless they're going to spend a lot more time getting promo time on house shows, I don't really have an answer to your question.
Yeah. And promo time on house shows is actually a really great way to rectify the situation and give them that opportunity. Well, Jake, thank you for joining me today. We're going to be back with a show tomorrow. Not sure if it'll be for members only or for the general public, but about the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 starting next week. So, yeah, that should be a fun and dynamic show where we butcher the pronunciations of many Japanese wrestler names.
I'm anticipating the emails as we speak.
Yeah, they'll be great.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.